Thank you for tuning in to the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We are one church with multiple campuses in the Elgin and Bartlett communities. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org, our church app, or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, may you be blessed by this week's message.
Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. It's the story of the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stopped and stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked them, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these last days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Yet the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is now the third day since all this took place. But some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, please, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So we went in to stay with him. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Yet suddenly he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'"
Lord, open our hearts and our minds to your word today, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this morning, we have the opportunity to hear from, though not one of the 12 apostles, one of the disciples, one of the followers of Jesus. His name is Cleopas, and he sends to you a letter from Cleopas. Grace and peace to you, the Church Journey of Hope in Elgin and Bartlett, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. From I, Cleopas, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have heard a little bit about me. I wasn't with Jesus and all the crowds from the very beginning, but as I began to hear more and more about this prophet, Jesus, I began to join those crowds and follow and listen to his teachings with other friends of mine and began to be in different places as he proclaimed his message. And his message began to stir in my heart and ring true in my life. And so I became a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And then something happened that I could never have imagined would happen, and I had my own encounter with the resurrected Christ one day. It was actually that third day, after everything that had happened, after the crucifixion, after so many of us as followers of Jesus had observed the crucifixion and everything that led up to that from a distance, because many of us were afraid. Even most of the 12 were afraid. Most of them had scattered into the crowds because they were afraid if they got too close to Jesus, they too might suffer his fate. They might too be arrested and crucified or put to death in some horrible way simply for having been a partner in ministry with Jesus. And then it seemed everything we had hoped for, that Jesus would be the Messiah, that Jesus would be the one that we had hoped would make everything different and everything new, and we would be freed from this tyrannical rule and we would be lifted up. And then all of a sudden, our hopes were all dashed as they killed Jesus. They hung him on a cross. And you thought we scattered before. Wow, after that, we scattered. We were afraid, and we were confused, and we were angry, and it was as if all of the hope we had leading up to that point, having heard the message of Jesus Christ, all of our hopes were dashed. We didn't know what to do. Many of us had vaguely remembered some of those bits and pieces when Jesus had talked about coming again or being raised from the dead. None of that stuff had made any sense when Jesus was with us, and now it made even less sense that he was gone. So we had been around for those couple of days, and it just didn't seem to make a lot of sense to stick around. The 12 were in the upper room, and then there were other gatherings of followers and disciples in different places around Jerusalem, and we had been with a couple of those different groups, and then we got to that third day, and we just didn't know if there was any real purpose or reason to stick around. So a friend and I decided we would head back toward Emmaus. That's where we were from. But before we left, before we got on the road to Emmaus, it was a 7 or 8 mile hike, which might not sound like a whole lot to you nowadays in your modern conveyances and your fancy comfortable footwear, but for us, for a 7 mile hike on a dirt and gravel road where there were sometimes unfriendlies, in our version of what you call flip-flops, but they were, you know, a little skimpier, a little thinner, a little less comfy. But before we left that day, we started to hear strange things from the community. Some of the women in our fellowship had gone to do some of the traditional preparations of the body with spices and linens, and when they got there, the stone had been rolled away from the tomb and Jesus wasn't to be found. Nobody knew who had taken him. Nobody knew where they had taken him. They had run back to the 12, and then John and Peter had run back to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, and they had come back to talk to the community, and nobody knew where he was or what was happening or what was going on. And we were already feeling pretty hopeless. We were already feeling awful. But now the body was gone. Somebody had taken him. So we said, we're going back to Emmaus. So we headed out. By then it was early day. We knew it would take us several hours to get there. It was a long 7 mile hike. And so we started out, and Not too far out of town, someone was with us. Another traveler joined us. Said, "Can I join you?" And I said, "Sure." And we started talking about the events of the last several days, of the last week, all the different things that had happened. And this traveler who was with us, also coming from Jerusalem, didn't seem to have a clue what we were talking about. And our first thought was, "Where have you been? How could you have been in Jerusalem for any length of time in the past week and not heard these things?" And this traveler, we didn't get his name, he said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, so we kind of recounted for him everything that had happened about Jesus, and that we had been followers of Jesus and disciples of Jesus, and we told him about the 12, and We told him about some of the things that Jesus had taught. And we told him how hopeful we had been, how excited we had been. And then we told him how those hopes and that excitement had been dashed when the authorities had crucified Jesus. And then he looked at us. I mean, we've got tears as we're recounting the story. He doesn't seem to have a clue what was happening. And then he turns to us. And he said something like, "Oh, you faithless, doubtful people." And we're like, "Wait a minute. You're the bonehead that doesn't seem to know what happened this week." And then he began to recount to us the same scriptures that Jesus had recounted to us, the same scriptures that talked about Jesus, that talked about the Messiah. And he talked about them in such a way that he knew them. It was, you know, he hadn't told us that he had been a follower of Jesus, but all of a sudden we're thinking, "You sound like you heard the same message as we did." And so, although that was a long 7 miles, the second half of that walk went pretty quick because it was as if he was just opening our minds and opening our hearts to the same scriptures that Jesus had taught us, with the same or similar message that Jesus had taught us. And we were amazed. And all of a sudden, we went from feeling like this was just some other traveler who had crashed our little pity party for two, to a kindred spirit, a fellow disciple, a brother follower of Jesus. And before you know it, we were at the entryway to Emmaus. And so as we began to head into our hometown, this traveler, we still didn't have his name yet, this traveler acted like he was staying on the main road to go around town. And we said, "No, wait, come with us. Stay with us." We wanted more of this conversation. We wanted more of this fellowship, more of this company with this other disciple. And so he relented and he stayed with us. And so we went in to get a meal together. And so the three of us sat at a table and someone brought us bread and wine, and we sat down and we were still talking. And you know, that kind of sense of hopelessness we had started out with, we were feeling a little better, and we were not entirely sure why. And then the traveler did something that just changed everything. He took in his hands the bread and he broke it. And all of a sudden, we realized why the words he had been speaking had been so powerful to us. All of a sudden, we realized why we had felt this incredible sense of a kindred spirit, this incredible closeness. All of a sudden, as he broke the bread, we realized the whole time we had been walking to Emmaus, we were walking with Jesus. For half a second, we wondered, "Why didn't you say something?" In the next second, we thought, "Why didn't we recognize him?" And then he was gone. He broke the bread. He was with us, and he had spoken the scriptures like we had heard him speak so many times. He had spoken the hope and the promise of himself being raised from the dead and resurrected like he had promised all along. And somehow on that road, we didn't realize it was him. And all of a sudden, those feelings of hopelessness had abated. All of a sudden, the feelings of fear and anxiety and that entire sense of, "Now what do we do?" I mean, we still weren't sure about the now what or the how what or whatever, but that was Jesus. We were with Jesus the whole time. And that was a long hike and a long walk, and it was incredible, and we were tired, but we decided we had to, in that moment, turn around and go back to Jerusalem and tell the community we had encountered the resurrected Jesus, that he had hiked the whole 7 miles with us, that he had reiterated what he had taught us before in the scriptures. We had to go back to the community. Even though it was getting later in the day and we knew we were going to end up walking partway in the darkness, and that gets a little hinky on those roads because there are strangers and ne'er-do-wells sometimes, but we had to do it. We had to go. And so quickly we finished eating, even though we didn't necessarily feel real hungry, and we grabbed some extra stuff for the road, and we headed back. We headed back for Jerusalem. Our steps were lighter. Our conversation had a little more singing in it on the way back. We couldn't believe it. And you know, the two of us reflected to each other. The two of us reflected to each other, and we said and we shared with one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? Did our hearts not burn within us? Friends, have you ever had that kind of experience in your faith when your hearts were burned or warmed within you, when your whole countenance was just uplifted? Perhaps not in your own experience of walking with the resurrected Christ, but in your experience of the Holy Spirit that at the ascension Christ promises to his people, that I will send the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, to be with you, to lift you up. Even though I write to you from a different place and a different time, it's my understanding that one of the very earliest founders of your own movement in Methodism speaks in his own journals and diaries about a heart-warming experience. John Wesley says, "There was a night on Aldersgate Street when my heart was strangely warmed as the preacher spoke on the book of Romans." And so as an early disciple of Christ, as one who experienced the resurrected Christ on the road, brothers and sisters in Elgin and Bartlett, A Journey of Hope, may your hearts be warmed again by that same Holy Spirit, by the same presence of Jesus Christ in your life as ours were on the road to Emmaus. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are days that our hearts are warmed, that our spirits are contented and energized and motivated and moved in our faith. And Lord, there are days that we can barely muster enough faith to fill a water glass. Whatever the day is, Lord, whether our tanks are empty, full, or halfway there, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, on this congregation, serving Elgin, serving Bartlett, serving the communities around us. Pour out your Holy Spirit again, Lord, that we might serve you in whatever way, in whatever place, in whatever lives you call us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go now in the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The love of God, the Father Almighty, the fellowship, the communion, and the power of the Holy Spirit, this day and forevermore. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen. Amen.